I want to take a moment and talk about a word that we use in the English language quite a bit. It's a word that touches us mentally, touches us physically, touches us emotionally, and touches us spiritually. But unfortunately, when it comes to the spiritual aspect, we all tend to use a different definition. The word I'm talking about is need. We all have needs, right? People say, I have needs, or this person is needy. We use that word in so many different ways. We use it as a derogatory term. Oh, they're so needy. They just need me all the time. Anybody ever been there? All right? We use it when, on the flip side, we use it when we need something. Like, I love to eat, so I always need food. All right? Don't laugh too much, all right? I'm working on the need for exercise to back that up. So, and friends who are close to me will always be the first to tell me that I need to put a little self-control in that need, because I will exercise it way more than I need to, all right? But I want to talk about the spiritual aspect of it. Anybody ever run into a Christian that tells you, you need Jesus, right? We love that term. You're getting off the subway, it's the last thing you'll say. You didn't have really the guts, if you were a Christian, to, you didn't want anybody to judge. You didn't speak up maybe on the train. So as you're going off, you're like, you need Jesus. Some of y'all have done that, huh? You tell your coworker, you tell your family the best way to, you need Jesus, and you hang up the phone. Or you think it's like the statement, the period at the end of a conversation. Well, you know what? I hear all your problems, but you just need Jesus. They just need Jesus. But what does that mean? You need Jesus. We happen to live in a Western society where a lot of our other needs are fulfilled. Whether it's money, whether it's in a relationship, whether it's a career, whether it's just something temporal like food. We get our needs met all the time. But I want to go to a story for a minute that's in the Bible. There's a book in the Bible called Luke. And in that book, they talk about Jesus. And he speaks quite a bit. And there's a story where he's going into a town called Jericho. And when he goes into the town of Jericho, he starts making his way through the town. A lot of people are coming out. He had done a lot of miracles up until this point. People heard about him. It's like if word started spreading through that you heard a celebrity was coming in tonight or the coming through town. And so word starts spreading. Jesus, you know, the man, he healed the blind. He's raising people from the dead. I mean, let me tell you, if somebody told me, if I happened to be standing on Broadway and somebody told me that some guy was coming along that was raising people off the dead and lifting up subway trains and doing all kinds of things that would really surprise me and shock me, I might head out to the street to see him too. Anybody else? All right, five of you. The rest of y'all know y'all would be out there or at least streaming it on social media. Folks do that, right? So Jesus was coming into this town of Jericho, and there was a short man named Zacchaeus. Some of you kind of know the story. And Zacchaeus had a job. He was a chief tax collector. Now, it's a little different than the IRS, so some of you are already boiling up because you paid your taxes, all right? You think about how much you owe. Back then, it didn't come out of our paycheck ahead of time. You had to go pay the tax collector. And the tax collector would kind of just come up with an amount. There was no chart. They couldn't Google it to make sure he wasn't lying. He just kind of came up with an amount, and that's what you had to pay. And so the Bible says that he became very rich. He was the chief tax collector. That means he was the top dog. Now, many of you know here in New York, you ever heard of the mob? They had a little racket going. Well, I think Zacchaeus and some of his friends had a little racket going back then. He was the chief tax collector because the Bible says he became very, very rich collecting taxes. So he wasn't a very liked man. People didn't really like him. And I would take a little bit of license to say that perhaps Zacchaeus didn't really see a need because his wealth was taken care of. When he walked through town, even if people didn't like him, they still had to respect his job. He was probably protected by the Romans at the time. So things were pretty much going his way. And he didn't necessarily see the need. But he heard about this Jesus. So he ran out to see who he was. But the Bible says he was short and he couldn't see over the crowd. Some of you have come in tonight, maybe because you were invited to this church service. Maybe you like the music. Maybe you're visiting town and you heard we have great music, and we do. So you decided to come in. Something piqued your interest to come in and hear about this man, Jesus. But sometimes it gets crowded and you can't see over the crowd. Ever been there? Ever been lined up somewhere you can't see and you wish you were about 3 feet taller so you could see everything? Well, Zacchaeus was short. He couldn't see over the crowd. So he went out of his way to climb a tree because he really wanted to see Jesus. And he figured, all I will do is climb this tree, see what he looks like, maybe see a miracle or two, maybe see him feed the crowd. And if he feeds the crowd, I'll get some of the bread. Maybe he's gonna, somebody's gonna come in. He'd heard the story of them healing people and raising people. Maybe he'll see something. So he just climbed the tree. But Jesus knows exactly what you need. Jesus knows what you need even when you don't. So you may have come in here tonight thinking, whatever reason brought you in, a friend, see some music, but Jesus brought you in here tonight because he wants to speak to your heart. The testimony, the story that Dinah and Antonina gave, that's unique to them, and they understood their need for Jesus. You need to understand your need for him too. Because Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I'm going to be a guest in your home today. Now, when I was growing up, I have a little bit of OCD for cleaning, just so you know. And I get that from my mother. And if she's streaming, I'm sorry, but I put her on blast, okay? She owned a cleaning business. So the house, there was a house rule. We don't leave the house without the house being clean. Why? You never know when a guest is going to come over. Anybody else have that house rule? Some of you parents, some of you kids are like, mm-hmm, that's you. That was the rule. Well, I keep it to my house today. I don't leave my house nasty. And if my friends come over, they know better. Do not leave the house nasty. Because if I come home, they're going to get a nice little picture with one of those little emoticons that really show them how I feel for leaving my house nasty. Because you never know when I'm going to run into somebody and want to invite them over. So Zacchaeus got a little surprised that day. I hope his house was clean, all right? Because Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. How many of you, if Jesus showed up on the stage right here and pointed out your name and said, I'm coming to your house tonight after this service? Amen. Some of you are saying amen. Some of you are saying, oh my. Your house is ready. Praise the Lord. Some of you are saying, oh, Lord, no, not my. Can we go to Starbucks? Can you just meet me over here in the corner? Not even Jesus. If some of you found out the pastor, one of the pastors of this church, or maybe somebody that you've seen on stage said, I'm coming to your house, you would say, oh my. And they're just men. But Zacchaeus quickly climbed down the tree, and he actually got excited. Now, why he got excited, who knows? Maybe it was a pride thing. He was excited. The big man in town's coming to my house. Everybody look at me. Maybe just got excited because he thought something was going to happen when he got to the house. There's kind of a break in the story because he got excited. The people around him got upset. Why is Jesus going to this notorious sinner? They knew what kind of man Zacchaeus was. Some of you are sitting here, and what keeps you from understanding your need for Jesus is you keep thinking about what other people think of you. Because especially when it comes to family or friends, they know you. They know your past. And when you're given the opportunity, you're told you need Jesus, you think, I don't need him. Besides, what would he want to do with somebody like me? Does he know what I was like in college? Does he know what I've said? Does he know what I've done? Does he know where I've been? Does he really know my heart? Does he know what I'm thinking about? Does he know what I really want in this life? And it ain't him. It's a lot of other things: money, fame, fortune, career, notoriety, husband, wife, children. Fill in the blank. Does he really know? Yes, he does. And in spite of that, he still wants to come to your house. He still wants a relationship with you. You heard one of them talking about a personal relationship. That's what Jesus wants with each and every person. And guess what? Unlike a real relationship, he doesn't flip the script when things get to moving along, okay? 6 months, a year go by, he doesn't all of a sudden start not texting you back, not calling you, being nasty. You really find out, you ever seen somebody put together and then you go to their house and find out there's a little messed up? Or you get married and you have the glow for a while and then the real person comes out. They get toothpaste all over the mirror. It's supposed to go in their mouth, but it's on the mirror. You don't know why, how that happened. He doesn't put the toilet seat down. Expectation. All those things start coming in. Jesus doesn't flip the script on you. He says who he is. He gave us his Bible to tell us who he is, and he maintains it. Now you, on the other hand, you're going to drop the ball a little bit. I'm just going to be honest. Can I be honest for a moment? You're going to drop the ball a little bit. We're all excited. How many of you started Bible reading plan and you still ain't finished it? Anybody? Okay. You're going to read 12 chapters a day. First day you got through 12, next day you got through 2, third day you don't even remember because that was 3 years ago. You don't even remember what book you were in. It's the truth. You may drop the ball, but he still loves you and still wants to come to your house. And it doesn't matter what other people know about you. Doesn't matter what other people see about you. Doesn't matter what they think about you. Because when you really understand your need for Jesus and you let him start to change you, they're going to be shocked because they're going to see a difference in you. When you truly accept Christ into your heart and you say, that's it, I'm surrendering everything to you, your life will change, guaranteed, and people will notice. How many spouses do we meet and one of them gets saved, especially if they really were a rough spouse to be living with or to deal with? They get saved, the other person probably within weeks or months are down here giving their heart to Jesus too because they see a difference. Now, that may not go for everybody. Remember, I said it's not cookie cutter, but we all have a need for Jesus. Now, after the people around him grumbled because he was a notorious sinner, this is where the break comes in. We don't know what happened when Jesus showed up at Zacchaeus' house. We can conjecture. Scholars can say they think they know what happened. We can get really excited and be like, I bet he went in and he told him everything he was going to happen on the cross. He probably told him everything he was doing. And Zacchaeus just fell out and that was it. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what words are exchanged. We don't know what meal was served. And there are things in the Bible sometimes God leaves that closed off so that we don't try and make that a pattern all of a sudden. Well, Jesus can come into my house, but it's got to be like this person or it's got to be like that person. It may not be like Dinah. It may not be like anyone you've heard giving testimony. It may not be like the person next to you. But when Jesus comes into your house, the house of your heart, and you open up the door and you say, hey, do whatever you want. It's a mess. I'm going to tell you right now, it's an absolute mess. He says, that's okay. I'm not scared of your mess. He actually brings the broom and the mop. He comes in to clean up the mess. And you can't sit there and tell him, no, not that corner. No, 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 no. Don't look under the bed. No, not that closet. Wait, wait, wait. Why are you going upstairs? Where are you going? No, 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 no. Oh, no, no. Ooh, no. You don't get to do that. You just need to just stand behind him. And as he starts going through the house and he starts cleaning things up, you don't even have to stand there in condemnation. You just say, yeah, you know what? That corner was nasty. Oh, man, that was really messed up. Oh, I'm so glad you went into that room. It's been locked up for years. I've cried outside the door of that room. There's been so much shame, so much hurt. There's been so much pain associated with that room. I've never been able to look at it since I was a child. You don't even know about that room. He takes a sledgehammer to that door and says, no, we're going to face this. We're going to face that so you don't have the pain anymore associated with that room. We're going to put a fresh coat on there. Where there was hate, there's going to be love. Where there was anger, there's going to be joy. Where there was anxiety, there's going to be peace. And all those emotional needs and all of those physical needs and all of those practical needs and all of every need that you have, he will supply all of your needs. Because his Bible says so. He's a need supplier. When you're making something, you go to the grocery store, you need the items to make it. Otherwise, you ain't gonna have nothing. Some of us have nothing. But Jesus will supply everything that we need. He will do that. And you know how we know something amazing happened in that house? Because when Zacchaeus came out of that house, oh, he was a changed man. He was different. Some of you have come in here today a particular way, and God says, if you will open your heart and realize your need for me. Maybe at one time you served God. Maybe at one time you were there. Maybe you have a semblance or an understanding, but you let the cares of life draw you away. He said, get back to your first love. Get back to me. I've been standing at the door knocking and knocking and knocking, and for 10 years, you've just left it closed in my face. Except when something happened, you kind of opened the door. You know, with the chain here in New York, you have a little door. Kind of peeked out a little bit. But he says, open the door all the way and let me come in. The Bible says that by the time they came out of that house, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord, that's Jesus, and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Don't ever expect that from the IRS. You got to know where you're putting your faith. Don't put it in a government. Don't put it in a job. Jobs are here today and gone tomorrow. Don't put it in a relationship. God forbid something could happen. Don't put it in yourself. Because you'll fail yourself every time. Anybody ever been there? We can be our own worst enemy at times. But he was a changed man. Now Jesus responded to him and said, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham, meaning a true son of faith. That's what Abraham represents. Faith. Faith in who? Faith in what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Not just God. Don't be a deist. Oh, I believe in God. Everybody believes in God. No, 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 no. The true living God. The God who breathed into you. You're sitting here today breathing because he breathed into you. He loved you that much. And then he sent his son Jesus because he knew that you would have needs. And he closes out by saying, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And you may be thinking, well, I'm not lost. I have a home. I have everything I need. What's this guy talking about? When it comes to Jesus, you can think you have everything you need, but he's not bound by social economic status. He's not bound by culture. He's not bound by race. He's not bound by where you're from. He's not bound by anything. There's three things we all share in this life. We will be born, we will die, and we all need Jesus. Every single one of us need him. And you can't escape it. Even if you want to reason it out. Even if you want to say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in God. That's because you're harboring bitterness or anger in your heart. Every atheist I've ever met and talked to, if you really listen, let them talk for a while, you start getting down to it. Something happened in their life that caused them to become angry towards God. Nobody goes around just hating God. There's something inherent in each and every one of us, a need that has to be fulfilled. And most of us spend the rest of our lives trying to fill it. When we're young, we try to fill it with fun and entertainment. When we get married or we get into a relationship, we try to fill it with that other person or with children. Then we get older, we try to fill it with a career. We try to fill it with travel. We try to fill it with food. We try to fill it with so many things, and they will always come up short. Every single time. But Jesus will never come up short. You can stop the search right there at Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you haven't fully surrendered to Jesus, tonight's your night. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Are you just going to sit there? Are you going to open the door? If you've been running from him, you've known him at some point in your life, he's knocking. He's been knocking for years. You haven't gone so far that you can't come back. That's not the God that we serve. You need Jesus. It's not just a catchphrase that Christians use. You have to understand, not just a head knowledge of who he is, but a heart knowledge. The two have to coincide. A lot of people will walk around and say, I believe in Jesus. But do they really? They believe into a concept of him. They believe in maybe what they were told. But if they really experienced Jesus and let him rule and reign and take a hold of their heart, that's why people, if you want to know why these folks are shouting, why the person next to you is singing loud, even if it happens to be slightly off key, it's because if they have a real relationship with Jesus, you can't contain it. You cannot contain a relationship with Jesus. There are people who live in countries who are dying for the cause of Christ. Because when they really get a hold of Jesus, life isn't even worth living, because if you do die and you know Jesus, you get to spend eternity with him. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You can't live this life without him. You can try, but it will not be fulfilling until you truly, truly open the door. Not the chain. Don't look out the peephole. Open the door and say, it's yours. Do whatever you want in this house. Sweep it clean. Can we stand for a moment? We sing a lot of songs here. And maybe some of you didn't sing along. You didn't understand the words. But there's an old song we used to sing, I Need Thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. And sometimes we can go back to those songs because the words are there. Now, what I want to do is we're going to sing that song. If you're a Christian here tonight, you know the words, sing it. If you're not, I want you to be willing to sing it. I want you to be willing to open your heart and sing that song and mean it. And as we're singing, if you want to open your heart, then you join me right down here. You join me down here, and we're going to pray with you. If this is your first time opening your heart, or if you felt like you've opened it, but you never fully did, then you come down here, and we want to pray with you. Do you need peace? Jesus. Do you need joy? Jesus. Do you need the hole filled in your heart? Jesus. Do you need direction in your life? Come on, folks. Jesus. You need to deal with forgiveness? Jesus. You need to deal with bitterness? Jesus. You need to be free from shame? Jesus. Everything you need, the answer is Jesus. It has always been Jesus. It always will be Jesus. That will never change. You need assurance in your soul? Jesus. Now you're getting it. Jesus. This is the best decision you can make in your life. Every decision compares next to nothing. But when you make that decision for Jesus, your life gets flipped upside down in the best way possible. You've opened the door. And once you open the door and Jesus comes in and he starts cleaning up, don't get stuck there. Because some other folks are going to come knocking. And you're going to open the door and say, Jesus, clean my house, and he can clean yours too. That's how life works. Jesus first, people second. Because when you get to heaven with Jesus, a lot of these folks are going to be there. And you're going to be there too. Jesus. Can we pray? I want to pray for you. And as I'm praying for you, do you know you can talk to Jesus? It's as simple as opening your mouth and just telling him, this heart's open. Now you're going to want to close the door at times. Fight that urge. You leave that door open. Let him do everything he wants to do in your heart. There's a lot of work. Some of us need it. It's going to bring you to tears. You may have to make some phone calls. But it's okay. Because he'll give you the strength. You know, with Jesus, he comes with everything. He comes with all of it. The strength you need. The words to say. That's what Jesus comes with. He's the full package. There is nothing else, no doubt. So as I pray for you, I want you to talk to him. The person next to you is going to be talking to him, so you can talk to him too. And you just begin to talk to him. Jesus, I need you. My heart is open. Can we do that? Lord, we need you. Our heart is open. We've made the decision to come down here, oh God, and to say, take an inventory of the house. Go everywhere you need to go. In my heart, in my mind, every relationship, every decision. Sweep it clean. Rule and reign. Have your way, Jesus. I need you today. I need the peace. I need to be free from the thoughts of suicide. I need to be free from the anger, from parents, or from a life that I thought was going somewhere else. I need bitterness taken out. I need shame taken out. Jesus, we need you. We can't live apart from you. We've tried it so many times. And now we're at the end of our rope. But at the end of the rope is Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Fill my heart and my mind. Take me where you want me to go. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for coming into my heart, and I thank you for coming into the hearts of those joining me down here today. I thank you that you wipe away every tear. I thank you that you speak. I thank you that you move. I thank you that you brought us here tonight. I thank you set me next to the person who asked me if I needed Jesus. And for once in my life, I was honest and said yes. I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. I thank you for the freedom that's going to come into my life. God, I'm asking you to keep every person here. Have your way. Speak to them, oh God, individually. You're an individual God. Speak individually. Move, oh God. Move in their life like they've never known before. Let them come out of this with a Zacchaeus type story, willing to change, full of joy and excitement, touching the lives of those around them for good, touching the lives of those around them for you, Jesus, letting people know that you fulfilled the need. Repair marriages, repair parents and children relationships. Let forgiveness seep into our hearts for all the things we've done in the past, oh God, and help us to move forward with you. And when the times get rough, help us to lean on you. Help us to find our strength in you, Jesus. Fill us each and every day. Give us the strength to come back to this church or maybe one in our neighborhood, oh God. Let us be around people who want to talk about you, who want to read your Bible, who want to pray together. God, bring people, Jesus people, into our lives. And help us to go out and bring even others in. Our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Tell him thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, with our hands, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise.